Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Your Spirit to be upon us, Lord, to strengthen us and to help us. So, Lord, we commit this time to you, and we are so grateful that we have the precious promises of your word, that you are with us, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we commit your word into our hearts, into our minds. Be glorified, O Lord. We thank you. Amen. Faith. It worked. Okay, this is the final Sunday in 2018, second last day of the year, and I was a couple of weeks ago just thinking about, you know, how life rolls. And it's interesting, John was talking about 2017. I was sitting with some friends and relations yesterday, and they were making comment about how glad they were to see the end of 2018. But I really believe that there's a sense in which the Word of God gives us, you know, instruction. And that instruction is for us to take hold of. It, you know, it can be a living word, but that living word's really got to come into our hearts. Apparently, this is a special weekend. I'm not really up with these things, but in this month, there are apparently 5 Saturdays, 5 Sundays, and 5 Mondays. And there are some people in the world believe that that's of great significance. But, I mean, it's another day, isn't it? Another day that the Lord's given us, and every day He's given us, you know, good things. So I titled the message, Forget Not. And therefore, from Scripture, I've looked for this particular concept. And here in Deuteronomy 6:12, you might say, well, that's Old Testament. That's, you know, way back in the law. You remember Paul said, though, when he was writing to his spiritual son Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. It's useful for instructing us and preparing us and developing us. So here's a word. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Or you may say, I wasn't in Egypt and I wasn't in slavery, but yes, you were. That was a physical condition, but, you know, the spiritual condition. If you're saved, you've been brought out of Egypt. Now, I'm sort of taking some things for granted here, that being humans, we're all very much the same. Does anyone forget things? Maybe we forget more things than we remember. I think the more important thing is what we remember. Because there are a lot of things that you could classify as really not critical or important for our lives. But this one, you see how it starts, be careful. So there's a sense in which there's an effort needed here not to forget the Lord. And you say, well, you know, we think about the Lord all the time. But I want to just take us through some thoughts. Maybe. Yes. Oh, there it goes. New Year's resolutions. Okay, anyone participate in the New Year's resolution activities? Only one. I don't believe you. No one here has made New Year's resolutions in the last 5, 10, 15. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. Okay, you're so holy. But this behavior started over 4,000 years ago with the Babylonians. And it was actually a religious activity. Now, they obviously didn't worship our God, the living God, but they had gods. And way back then, there was a sense in which you had to get your house in order before you went into the new year. But in Babylon, New Year wasn't January 1st, it was later. But really, what they needed to do was make sure all their debts were paid and everything was sorted out before you went into the new year. Otherwise, you weren't going to have the favor of God on your life. Gods, not God, gods. And so they were very serious about this. But then, even in ancient Rome, in 46 BC, there was a similar process took place. And again, they weren't worshiping the living God, but they had a god called Janus. And that's how January came about. And Julius Caesar changed the calendar. And that's how we have our calendar now. January came from Julius Caesar. Now, apparently this god was two-faced god. But two-faced in that he faced back and forward. And so they used to have this concept that he looked back in the year and looked forward in the year. And therefore, you had to offer your sacrifices and sort your life out. Otherwise, he was not going to be happy with you. For early Christians, the first day of the new year became the traditional occasion for thinking about one's past mistakes and resolving to do and be better. So maybe you didn't make any resolutions. Anyone decided to be better next year? Now, maybe you haven't, but I have, you know? And some years ago, John gave us, the leadership team, a video. And it was about setting goals. You remember this, John? I don't know if you watched it, but I did. I made all the other guys sit down and watch. And I don't know if they made goals. But the whole idea was, if you don't set a plan or have a goal, well, there is a saying, whether you set a goal or not, you'll attain it. Because if you don't set one, you won't attain anything. So basically, this whole thing was you got to have goals to aim for and you got to put them in place and you got to think about it and how you're going to get there. Like if you're going on a holiday, you don't just get in the car and start driving. Well, some of you might, I don't know. But generally, I like to know which road I'm taking and, you know, I can get cranky if suddenly that road is blocked or there's traffic jams. But you got to have a plan. So I tend to be very, some people might say, rigid, structured, organized, reliable, whatever. I took this very seriously and I made some goals. And I put it into my computer and I thought, I'll review that and see how I go. And one day, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I haven't looked at those goals for a while. It must be a year. So I opened them up. Well, it was 3 years. How do you even know if you're going to hit a goal if you... I mean, you don't even know where you are on the journey. Imagine setting sail for somewhere in a boat and you're just bobbing around the ocean. After 3 years, you know, you don't even know where you are. So, you know, in Christendom, there is a sense in which we should be doing things appropriately. So that whole thing was back in 1740. The English clergyman John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, created the Covenant Renewal Service. So this actually is what's developed into what we call the Watch. Most commonly held on New Year's, they included readings from Scripture and hymn singing, and served as a spiritual alternative to the raucous celebrations normally held to celebrate the coming of the new year. So that's a little bit of background about New Year's, New Year's resolutions, and where we are up to now. So it's the end of the year. I don't know what you're going to do. You know, John's already announced tomorrow night we're having a prayer meeting. You might have other plans. But now, every year, that's iconic for Australia, isn't it? And sometimes I wonder, you know, the contrast between people's thinking, you know, global warming and being financial financially accountable, and you know, how many tens of thousands spent making pretty colours in the sky for 15 minutes. I mean, it's beautiful, definitely is. But that's a lot of people, that's their New Year's Eve big celebration, and it's very beautiful. For a lot of people, they have this sort of situation. They're looking back, has the year been miserable? Well, the reality is, folks, life is life. You're going to have some unhappinesses in the past. I doubt that everyone had 365 days of glorious joy. And Tony was talking to us about that last week. You know, count it all joy when you suffer. So the guy on the right, he doesn't look like he's enjoying the suffering too much. But how do we approach the new year? There is a need for us to reflect. And there's a problem. There's a positive and negative. We can look back and we can, you know, say, oh yes, we did this, and this is good, but this wasn't so good. Now that's okay too, doing just the look at the analysis of it. But here's the problem. You've got to discern, for what reason are we looking back, and what are you going to do about looking back? Because a lot of people can end up on the wrong side of the scale here. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, and the devil brings condemnation. And if you go back and you start thinking about, oh, I didn't read my Bible enough, I didn't pray enough, I didn't listen enough, I didn't, it's not long before the devil was jumping on your head, and we end up in this situation. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So we've got a contrast. The devil is wanting to get hold of you and destroy your life. And right back in Revelation, the accuser of the brothers, the devil, he doesn't want you to advance. He wants you to be bound. And this whole thing of the first scripture, he's brought you out of slavery, he's brought you out of Egypt. You're not supposed to be coming into bondage again because of failures or weaknesses, or you haven't quite attained what you wanted to attain. But that's where the enemy is always going to take you. It's never going to be positive. It's condemnation. And it'll end up in regret, remorse, and resentment. Now, unfortunately, people who go down this path will also end up with other side effects such as anger, bitterness, hatred, and can be ultimately totally destructive for their lives. That's not the plan of God for us. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Who said this? Jesus said this himself, about his Father. I haven't come to condemn you. I've come to save you. I've come to rescue you. What else did he say? I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. So we've got to come to a position of, how do we get into this fullness? How do we attain what God wants for us? Well, I've got some ideas. So whereas the devil will always bring about a negativity, a weight, a heaviness, a stealing, a destruction, this is God's plan. Repentance. And the scripture tells us it's God's kindness that leads to repentance, because he's wanting to rescue you. He's wanting to bring you out of slavery. He's wanting to save you. So I've just put down a couple of things here. He's wanting to restore. He restores our soul, and he wants to renew by the Holy Spirit. So you see that the heart of God is totally different. It's not to punish and condemn and cause you to have misery. It's to cause you to come into a greater freedom, a greater awareness of his blessing. But of course, there's always conditions to these things. Here's another passage I want us to look at. This is from the Psalms. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So again, where we focus is critical. Because If we have something negative or a negative nature happen to us, and we so consume ourselves with that, we will never see what God might want to bring out of it. You're locked in to a negative situation, and all you can say is, this is hopeless. There's no way out. There's no future. Not so. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. That sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? Has anyone here had a personal healing, the hand of God coming on you and delivering you from something? Do not forget all his benefits. Yeah, but that was a few years ago, Neil. God hasn't changed. Do not forget all his benefits. So therefore, if you're not going to forget them, you have to know them and remember them and bring them up before your own mind. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Anyone need a bit of that? Well, this is the word of God. It's possible. Here's another passage from Deuteronomy. Be careful. And parents, this one is significant for us. Be careful and watch closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen. Now, I want to just stop there for a moment. For the children of Israel, they have a history. They have a history, and their children didn't necessarily see and experience everything that their parents had. The deliverance out of Egypt, the provision in the wilderness. All these things took place. They're realities. They were miracles. They happened, and they happened for a purpose. Be careful. Watch closely so that you do not forget. So what does that suggest to you? Does that suggest that remembering is just natural? I think not. What it's saying is we must make a conscious effort to be putting into our thoughts and looking and remembering these things the Lord has done. Now, we have them written in Scripture for the history, but what about your own life? Do you have a historic record of God's provision for you? Finances, jobs, health, protection. I remember years ago, you know, when you're a teenager, you think you're a super driver. I actually call these guys now with P-plates professionals because they seem to think that having that P-plate has suddenly made them superheroes in cars. And I was like that. And I remember on a couple of occasions thinking how well I'd done to avoid rolling that car. But when I got older, what I realized was somehow God had put his hand on there, or a big angel, and stopped that car going off the road and killing me. I remember two occasions in particular where in the instant that I thought, it's all over, that car somehow just straightened up. And I thought, oh, I did pretty well there. Not now. God preserved my life. Now, I could easily forget that because it was a 5-second part of my life, gone, forgotten. But the fact is, every moment of every day, God is looking over you. He's protecting you. He's providing for you. Do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Here's another one from Deuteronomy. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that made you. You might say, well, that's Old Testament again. That's Old Testament covenant. But just wait a minute, we're going to see that we have a covenant. This is an interesting, it's in the same chapter, but this is now talking about God. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers which he confirmed to them by oath. See, we have a covenant with God. And the scripture tells us that he remembers his covenant. And of course, that new covenant that we have, and we shared around the table just a few minutes ago, was established in the upper room before Christ's death. And in Luke chapter 22, Jesus takes the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." If you are a born-again believer, you have a covenant with God established in the blood of Christ. Every time we take communion, and look, again, it's very easy in our humanness to go through just the actions, but really there should be a deeper moving of the heart in remembering the price. You know, we sung that song. How can we even think about the price that was paid? Now, I just want to jump sideways, because although we've been talking about forget not, there are things, some things you're supposed to forget. Did you know that? What would they be? Well, the prophet Isaiah says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing." How many times have you heard that in a prophecy meeting? Oh, no one. I remember. It used to be one of the common ones, you know. Look, the Lord's doing a new thing. And what was the other one? "I know the plans I have for you." That was another very common one. And what was the context of both of them was that the people were in a mess. Both passages, the people were in a lot of trouble with God. But this is the faithfulness of God in the midst of these things. Because, see, his whole plan is to redeem, to set free. So it doesn't matter what your circumstance is, God is always trying to redeem us. But as I read this passage, I was thinking about, because I suppose I felt a prophetic nudging. "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Does anyone here consider themselves to be a bit dull with prophecy or hearing God? Only me. Okay, that's fine. The fact is, we miss a lot. And it can be our busyness. You know, we all have a lot of things happening in our lives, a lot of distractions. And even when we're reading passages of Scripture, sometimes we're reading it for a particular purpose, like I was looking for the forget not or the forget. But when I came to this passage, "Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" And I just stopped for a moment. I thought, okay, what is God doing? Because Jesus said of God, "My Father is always at work." Remember reading that? Jesus said of his Father, he's always at work. Therefore, what is it that he's trying to do? But if we're so busy with our own plans and actions and distractions, it's a bit hard for us to see what it is he's trying to do. So let me just give you a couple that came to mind as I sat there and pondered it. Church unity. What have we seen in the last couple of years? We've seen things happening here in our city that hasn't really been seen in the city before. The pastor's fellowship and weekly prayers. Now it springs up. What are you perceiving about that? Where do you see that going? What is in your faith for what's going to happen? Apostolic relationships and covering. After one of the pastor's prayer meetings, one of the guys talked to David. And in the course of the conversation, because this fellow has read one of John's books, and I mightn't have the story exactly right, David, but I hope I've got the core of it right. This guy was wanting to do a church plant, but he realized that it'd be very dangerous for him to do that without covering. Now, these things are emerging. They're starting to gradually come out. We're sitting there a couple of weeks ago, and one of the pastors just said in the conversation, "Oh, do any of you know this person?" And I said, "Yeah, I know him, but Tony knows him better," and we had a little discussion. Years ago, that would never have happened. There are changes. There are things going on, things springing up. When we come to the New Testament, this is one of my favorite passages, although it's very challenging. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. I mean, he's not in such a great state himself. You know, he's in prison. And this is what he says: "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Now, when I think of Paul, I think of this amazing evangelist who's, you know, traveled all through Asia Minor preaching the gospel. He's been imprisoned. He's been beaten. He's had shipwrecks. He's had all these terrible things. We've lost contact. Sorry. That's back. So here's a man who has pursued Christ. He's a man who has laid his life down, seen possibly thousands come to the Lord. And he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on." And this is a passage I've always thought is very interesting and pondered. "But I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me." And just stop for a minute. If you're saved, Jesus took hold of you for a purpose. Yes, he wanted to rescue you. He wanted to bring you out of Egypt. He wanted to bring you out of captivity and slavery. It's for a purpose. And here's Paul, after he's done all this stuff, he's still saying, "I have not yet attained it. I have not fully taken hold of it. But I press on. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." See, if the devil can keep us focused on our failures in the past or our weaknesses or inability to have done something that we believe we should have done or whatever else it is, just a general condemnation of our past, you're never going to get there. Now, forgetting what is behind isn't the neglecting of repentance and restoration and renewal. What happens is, if there's something out of order, you repent. But you don't wallow there for the next 3-5 years, and woe is me, you know, I'm a worm and I'll never be anything other than a worm. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, here's a word for all of us, if we get into the category. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So, I haven't got the passages up, but the intention is that we're supposed to mature. And Tony's message last week was talking about this process, you know. Suffering is so you persevere and you endure and you grow and you become stronger. Now, there's a lot of things come up on the internet with regard to after Christmas fitness plans and weight reductions, hundreds and thousands of them. The gym memberships rocket. But there's a problem. People think that if they step inside the gym, the weight suddenly falls off their body and melts into the floor. And they think after they have done 1 week of exercising, they should have destroyed all that they built up over the last 6 or 7 years. Not so. And so there is a need for perseverance and endurance. If you want a result, you've got to be mature about it. Now, application. I mightn't have these in exact right order, John, but I was thinking of things the Lord has said over the years since I've been in the church, and I just plucked five out here, some going way back, and number five being what John just talked about this morning. The number of prophecies with regard to financial abundance is quite astounding. And from such a wide variety of ministers visiting our church. Now, see, the finance prophecies weren't just about enough. They were always about more than enough and an abundance. And even when the words came, there was also then visions and dreams given, often associated with things like waterfalls of gold and treasure chests. Overflowing. It was always an overflowing. It was never just getting there. Well, I don't think we've seen that. Souls. This one might have come before the financial one. But again, it wasn't just one or two. It was always talking about things like combine harvesters where, you know, there was multitudes coming. Haven't quite seen it. Listening. Well, this is one we could probably give ourselves a good beating for, because I think from time to time we've all confessed that the Lord said this was important, but we never really got it established. But there was a prophecy came that Hazel brought that if we would listen, the Lord would give us new ideas of new amazing inventions and things. Anyone remember that? Don't think it's happened. Anyone sitting on a secret invention you haven't told us about? Community. Yes, God gave us a blessing, a community. But the word came that it was a down payment. It wasn't the full amount. There was still more to come. And opportunity. And we are told to be bold and faithful. So, here's things that still lie ahead of us into the new year. But if we sit looking back and saying, well, I haven't listened for the last 10 years, God isn't going to be happy with me, so there's not much point in me starting now, then you'll never start. If you sit and say, well, God said the finances were going to be abundant, but they aren't, and they haven't been, therefore maybe God didn't say it, and what's the point? Souls. You could apply this to all these things. But when I look at Scripture and God's promises, often there are long periods of time between the word being brought and ultimately the result being attained. I want to wrap up by going to Hebrews chapter 13. And I would have liked to have read large portions of this, but we'll just pluck a few things out here. Here's some things we should continue to do. So in the NIV it says, this is the concluding exhortations to the Hebrew church. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. Now, that's something I don't think I've ever done, really. Can't remember. Strangers. No, Roslyn and Justin picked up some strangers on the side of the road and took them home a few years ago. It's not something that's natural to our everyday life now, is it? Strangers, entertaining them. Remember those in prison. One of the pastors who comes on Tuesday mornings to pray with is Lenny, is a chaplain out at the prison, and he quite often tells us about what God's doing in the prison. There's a lot of guys getting saved out there and baptized. verse 7, we'll go back a bit. Verse 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And it goes on and tells us, because God said he will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. 16's on the board, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their works will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So as we draw to the end of the year, it's just some thoughts with regard to how to approach it. If there are things to confess, confess them. Repent of them, and then move on. But under the leading and guiding of the Lord. I believe God is always at work and in the midst of difficulties and struggles. He strengthens us in our faith. If there was never any struggle, that's basically what the scripture says. If there's not struggle, there isn't maturing, there isn't advancement, there isn't strengthening. But I believe that we can move into the new year, taking hold of the promises of God, putting our mind in line with what Scripture says. I just want to use some verses from Hebrews 13, verse 20 as a benediction. Just invite the worship team to come and we'll conclude and dedicate ourselves to the Lord. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.